Hey!
That's going to be our opening.
Hey!
Can we go back and just hear what that sounds like?
Have yes. it loop over and over and over again?
This episode sucks.
You got to do that worst. At least two times. You have like, to do the wait, loop at least two times.
Just
two
loop
times.
It.
Can we go back and hear what that sounds like?
You can do whatever you
That's
want.
A really fucking long opening.
Cheers! Welcome to A Bit Drunk. This is the Bit Pub's audio podcast in which we have a conversation about anything and everything relating to console video gaming, past, present, and future. And whilst doing so, we're having just a few too many fine crafted beers and spirituous beverages. My name is Ian Greer. And back again, the prodigal son, after he sinned against us, departed and left, has returned. Danny Gwynn.
Hello.
Also hanging out with us.
I gotta go.
Do a few hellos.
Hello.
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 Yeah, keep trying.
Hello.
Keep doing takes. We'll do it live.
Hi.
There we go. That's the one we're gonna go with.
Okay.
All of those are in here, though.
All right, that's fine. Keep them all. It's
also,
all gold.
Also hanging out with us once again, just like the venereal disease that won't go away. Oh. Patrick.
Hello.
Try it again. Okay, take two.
Hey.
Okay, we got. He got a two takes, Dan.
All right. You know, some yeah. people have it, some people don't.
How many takes did you get to Barney?
Since it's been so long, we obviously have a shit ton to talk about in this podcast. Danny Gwynn's going to give us just the tip of it. Danny, what are we talking about?
All right, so I'm just going to ease into it here. We're talking motion about
ocean.
We're talking about whether or not E3 matters. Do we need to keep it around? Is it a relic? Is it sacrilegious for me to even mention this?
Sacrilegious.
We're talking all about whether or not it's time to just put one in the back of E3's head. Take it out back, bury it in the ground, forget about it, or keep it alive and well. Stroke it, nurture it,
keep
pet it,
it
love it.
Yeah.
We don't know. Anyway, we're going to be talking about that and a few more things as we get into A Bit Drunk.
So, it's been a little while, so we've had a lot of drinking to catch up on. Patrick,
yes.
you have brought an independent thing for your own self.
Uh-huh.
As we've covered before, you're a strict paleo dieter.
Yes.
Which is good. Good on you.
Right,
I mean, that is a good and healthy thing, unlike those of us who are consuming too much grain and carbs and such.
I need donuts
to live.
I need donuts on top of my pasta.
My pasta in my bread sandwich. Do y'all have muesli? I'm totally green friendly.
Okay, so you're not doing any of that.
No, but you're not doing any of that green stuff. But you're still
only,
drinking.
Only spirits available
you still
to
drinking.
Be okay with people.
So what'd you bring this week? What'd you bring for yourself to get just a bit drunk on?
Some tequila.
Ooh.
From Casamigos.
Ooh. That's
which is like a complete. It's like House Friends. but it's like a contraction. House Friends.
House Friends.
Something lost in the translation there, I think.
Yeah, we're missing some articles there. Definite or indefinite, but it's just like House Friend. That was my House Friends.
I'm pretty sure that's what that means.
Does that make us Garage Friends?
I mean, there's not a space, so that might not be what
Casamigos.
It means. It's one word.
Or a friendly house. This is a very friendly house.
Casamigos.
I hate that enemy
what
house
kind of
across
casa
the street.
Is that? It's an amigo.
Oh, there's a boss house across the street.
Yeah.
He's a mid-boss house, though. So.
Yeah. Right. Casa Jefe.
All right, like so give us...
Casa Jefe.
Give us your review of the Friend House tequila.
It's pretty tequila-y.
Tastes like cactus juice.
Tastes like cactus juice.
So I'm newer to tequila. I'm very much a scotch guy. I really know my way around scotch. Okay. And I was introduced, because tequila I just kind of ruled out because it was just like the Jose Cuervo or the Don Julio. Yeah. Or whatever, just here's the crap that is just like, it tastes like a headache when you drink it. Got and it's it. Like, it has the express purpose of preserving your organs and getting you drunk. But I was recently introduced to like to actually fine tequilas. And people were like, do not chug this. You sip this.
Yeah.
And you have it with a cigar, or you have it with citrus, or you have it with chocolate. And it was awesome. And all of a sudden there was like, you like scotch, you need to drink this. And there was like, there's Highlands and Añejos and all this other crap. What is this guy? Where is this?
I am not an expert. This one is a Blanco, it says here on the bottle.
That means white.
It's classic.
Thanks, Danny.
Categoria tequila, 100% agave azul.
I thought
that's blue.
I thought gringo meant white.
Well,
I mean,
Hecho in Jalisco, Mexico.
Ooh, in Jalisco.
I'm not a tequila expert. But it tastes pretty good.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you like this one?
Yeah, it tastes pretty good. It's kind of sweet. It doesn't, like, you know, make me feel, like, regret immediately when I put it in my mouth.
I would say that's the mark of a good tequila, where it's just like, oh, this is awful. Yeah. This will be awful later on.
Why did I decide to drink alcohol?
Yeah, the express purpose. But, yeah, legitimately, sometimes it's just, like, the express purpose of getting fucked up. And it's like, I would enjoy the process of getting fucked up. I would have fun on the way there.
This one was behind a lock. At the grocery store.
Oh, so this is something like you could probably, at least in the West Coast, you could probably find it
like
readily.
At a Safeway or some shit.
Oh, wow,
probably.
That's awesome.
But it is it? But it's better than, you know,
Don
the
Julio.
Shitty ones. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
Which I know. I mean, there's probably some tequila experts out there being like, Don Julio makes a really good aged añejo. you. Neanderthal, why are you bad mouthing them? But I'm like, it's just like if I, as a Scotch drinker, it'd be like, oh, you're drinking Dewars, great. So like that's just don't even bother. Don't bother drinking.
Yeah,
drinking. But
just give up.
Yeah, just stop. Stop. Well, I mean, keep drinking.
Well, somebody's got to drink it. Just go.
Give it to me. Thank you. Glug 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 glug. Good stuff.
Yeah. All right, Ian, you brought a couple of tasty beverages.
I brought a couple of tasty beverages. I brought. We went with the larger Bottels this week as opposed to Sixers. There's a mosquito about in here? There's
something buzzing about the place.
Danny's just rolling.
Maybe I'm just hallucinating.
It was all that E3.
Oh, shit!
And we've lost Danny.
My hands can touch anything but themselves. Oh, wait.
Oh, Futurama. Yeah. I brought, the first thing we started with was from Camino Brewing, which is, they're in Pittsburgh, California, not Pittsburgh, PA, not the big Pittsburgh.
Camino means road.
Yeah, thank you.
Or I walk, if the accent's in the right place.
I really didn't know that.
Caminar is the Spanish to walk.
Ooh. So it's just wherever your accent is.
Camino is the conjugation for I walk.
And we all live just off of or very close to the El Camino Real, which is the Royal Highway, correct? The Royal Road?
Yeah.
One of the oldest highways.
Is that what it means?
It's one of the oldest highways in the United States.
It's absolutely true.
Yeah. If you're at the Alameda downtown is still part of it. 82 in California is
long-standing... Hispanic tradition of the 82.
The 82. The 80. Dates back nigh on 300 years. The 82. The California 82.
The old Ochenta y dos.
Why did they call it that?
Throat just seems so royal. Why would they call
it originally
that?
Named by Mexicans, basically.
Yeah. Which, if you do drive... You know, the Royal Road here in California, usually know it's full of traffic. So, you know, you only
it's
go on.
Terrible.
It's terrible. El Terrible.
Terrible.
But yeah, so this is from Camino Beer Company in Pittsburgh, California. Not the PA, the CA. This is their Juniper, or keeping with current speech pattern, Juniper. Saison. So Juniper Saison. So we get a little French Spanish in there. Yeah. This was we started with this one. So it's a Saison, so it's very rich,
spicy,
very flavor syrupy, but the juniper in there makes it give it that spicy. which if you're a gin fan, if you're a gin fan and a beer fan, you're probably going to like this quite a bit. And then the second, not to diss the Juniper Saison, but I also brought Green Flash's Cosmic Ristretto, which is it's a Baltic porter with espresso. That stole the show.
This thing was fucking good.
God damn. That really stole the show.
I am actually... I haven't consumed alcohol for a while, having just recently had a child.
Do you want to finish this, by the way?
But I didn't want the baby to come out with a disease.
Yeah, it definitely matters.
Yeah.
Or that I don't drink it.
Right.
To avoid having my child have some sort of that retardation.
You just gave all the beer to Sabrina.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Just fed it right to her.
Listen, baby. So this baby don't get retarded, I need you to do all the drinking here in this house.
You better just pick up my slack. So anyway, as a result.
She's a trooper.
I did not consume too much alcohol in the last couple of months. And tonight, I kind of had to take a little bit easy. Or else I would not remember
you
anything
took a break,
I was talking
but you
about.
Also took it easy. Yeah.
I did. Anyway, it was tasty. I'm sad that I only had one coffee mug full of the Camino and not the Ristretto.
We'll do it again.
Definitely be purchasing and consuming more of the Ristretto.
Speaking of, we didn't do this, but we've already done our cheers. But cheers to Danny Gwynn for bringing forth a progeny. And cheers to you, Miles Warren Gwynn. May you never listen to this, and may you grow up to be successful and productive
by not listening to this, and never follow in your father's footsteps.
Yeah. Never, ever.
We can only hope.
That. Yeah, we can only hope and pray to our great Lord Satan that he will guide you along the paths of righteousness.
Here's hoping.
But yeah, so this beer, the Cosmic Ristretto stole the show. This is from Green Flash. This is another California brewery. Most of what I've had from them has been their IPAs or their pale ales of sorts. Actually, this past weekend while I was doing yard work, I polished off a Tangerine Soul Style IPA from them. Really dug it. This is a damn good porter.
If I wanted to go purchase one of these, could I find them at like a Whole Foods?
You can certainly. This is actually where I found it. I didn't actually have to go to my specialty beer house. I swung by Whole Foods to see like, hey, just what's going on? Because the beer kids there do a lot of special ordering and like get a lot of good stuff. So they got the Camino. I did not say, go try this Camino. I actually really liked it. It's a good Saison.
It's good.
Very, very refreshing. Very nice. But if you want to finish with a porter, Cosmic Ristretto, you can pick it up at Whole Foods. If you're on the West Coast, I would actually say probably best if you're in the Bay Area of the West Coast in order to get Green Flash. I don't know how far their distribution is. So if you're listening to this and you're on a different coast,
or you're in the middle of the country, not on the coast.
If you're my people in the Midwest, you're probably not going to get it. You might just have to come out, buy it from here, bring it back with you. Come have a drink with us if you do it.
If you're somewhere and you see yourself looking at a bottle of Green Flash Cosmic Ristretto, do yourself a favor and buy all of them.
Buy all of it.
And drink all of it.
It's lovely. The espresso blend is just, it's just a perfect finish. And it just mingles very well with it. So I'm super happy with this.
Yep.
We video games. We talk about video games too on this podcast.
Sometimes we do.
Does anybody play them? I mean, we talk about them, but does anybody actually play them? Patrick,
nope.
Do you play? Pre-play?
Nothing.
No. Danny, do you? No?
Occasionally.
On occasion?
Yeah. Mostly, I am just elbow deep in shit and piss.
And then you got that baby.
Also, then I had a kid, and that just made it worse.
Oh, he's adding to it.
Oh, man. Now what am I supposed to do?
Patrick, what have you been playing? Have you been playing?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've been playing two games. One is not new, Dying Light, which I play on the internet with my friend Athena. That is great.
She's the Greek goddess of war.
She's real good at it.
And wisdom.
And wisdom.
Funny how they go together.
Did she bust out of Zeus's head or something?
Probably.
She forth fully formed from Zeus's forehead. Nice. From Zeus's forehead.
Zeus. Didn't Hephaestus have to bash his head open to get him out?
I think you're correct.
I love the hick talking about Greek mythology.
I believe in Homer's Iliad, she was nearly failed by a mere mortal. Correct me if I am wrong.
Now, looky here, Scooter. We ain't talking about her brother Apollo, the sun god.
Like an Alex Jones voice double right there.
That
was
really
scary.
Like just dead on?
Dead on. Listen to that shit. Listen to it. And then go find listen to Alex Jones. Also, don't listen to Alex Jones.
Okay, good.
I don't know who that is.
Don't. That's fine. That's right, good then. For you, man.
Okay, so Ian, you sound like a guy we don't want to listen to.
Nope, but...
Normally. And then also now you sound like another guy we don't want to listen to. Okay, so Dying Light.
So Dying Light, not new, but it's better than I thought it was going to be. Holy shit, Hyper Light Drifter.
That dropped,
drifter.
Right?
Have you heard of this?
It still hasn't dropped for consoles, though, right?
No, it has not. So I'm playing it on the computer, but consoles. With a PlayStation 4 controller.
Okay.
Dude,
this game.
Tell me about this game.
So it was a Kickstarter campaign, and I just kind of thought this, that it looked cool, and the music looked cool, or sounded cool. And so I Kickstarted it, and...
It is a 16-bit styled... adventure.
Right. I mean, yeah. I guess it was like it's probably closer to like. Well, I mean, right. Yeah.
It's kind of pixelated. I would say it's 16-bit color depth at least in that realm. I don't
something
know.
Something like that. I mean, I don't really know it. Like, I feel like I'm cheating when I call something 16-bit just because it's pixelated. but it looks it's a beautiful game. It is a pixel art game.
And we were both very excited about the story, the narrative, and it sounds like.
Yeah,
I know we're both driven by it. For you to be this excited about it, I imagine that's good too.
I'm still trying to figure the story out, frankly. But the aesthetic is excellent. The gameplay feels great. It's very hard. I didn't expect it to be such a fucking hard game.
Yeah.
but it is hard to die constantly. It's bringing me down.
I'm depressed. Look.
Also, it's the first time that the music of a game has captivated me so that I like listen to it all the time. I listen like when I'm in my car. This is on the album is on repeat all the time.
Damn.
Since I started playing the game, which is like,
did you get the album with the Kickstarter? Did they give it out?
I got all the crap. Also, one of the tiers is you can get like a. They'll send you a Super Nintendo style box with a
Oh my god.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Anyway.
I'm glad I didn't see that.
Won all of my money, please.
Anyway, the game is great. And the music is excellent also. And I just found out the guy who did the music or the group did, I'm not sure if it's a group or a guy, Disaster Piece. But they do like movie soundtracks.
That was a Slipknot song.
What?
Yeah.
Well, it's a musician.
He's a musician, but that's also a really cool name, Disaster Piece.
Anyway, the game is excellent.
You shared it with me a while ago.
Yeah.
Just like some of the video footage and just that, the immediate bits from there, I was just captivated by it.
Yeah.
This gameplay looks great, but all the visuals have me immediately sucked in.
There's an intense atmosphere, which is like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say. Just excellent. If you haven't played it, you should play it. Everyone should play it.
When is it dropping for consoles? It's like this summer?
I don't even know.
Because I pre-ordered for PS4.
Yeah, me too.
So I did it for that. So I was like, I don't know. I have the PC access, but it's just like, I don't know. I can't. You're playing with the PS4 controller, though.
It plays beautifully on a PS4 controller plugged into a computer.
Jump into it, yeah. But... I don't know. There's just like, I mean, it's a console video gaming podcast. I love console video gaming. I don't know if I can break character.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
Okay.
I'll probably start it over on the PlayStation.
Okay, so we can play through it together.
I really wanted to make it on the Vita though, because I'm.
Oh my god. Is that a stretch goal for them? Was that a stretch goal?
They said they're gonna do it, but it's like it's up in the air. It's also supposed to be on the Wii, but there's some content dispute between Nintendo and the development tool they use to make the game. Anyway.
Gotcha. Yeah. That always seems to be a sticking point with Nintendo. There's a lot of like
sucks. That sucks, Nintendo.
Yeah.
You guys should get your shit together.
Yeah. And I know they got it together for like some of the Mother Earthbound stuff, but that was the sticking point. Or at least the rumored sticking point for a while was licensing of various sorts.
They can't afford to be fucking around right now.
Yeah, no doubt. No. I mean, I'm still going to buy an NX and Zelda the NX and the Wii.
Which is pretty much what everybody's saying. They're like, fuck, Nintendo, get it together.
Fuck it.
All right, I'm going to buy a console.
I'm going to give you my money.
A launch title.
Get it together.
But after title. That.
And I'm going to buy your stupid Zelda game on both platforms, whatever they may be. Bastards. Anything else? Anything else?
Not that I can think of at the moment.
I mean, Hyper Light Drifter.
Hyper Light Drifter is the shit.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Danielle.
In the last month and a half, I haven't played too much.
Why?
There's a small, loud needy child in my life now.
Your dog Dottie?
No, me. Me.
Me, yeah.
I'm very needy and loud. No. So, of course, taking care of a kid is very time-consuming.
Right.
But I have found a little bit of time to play Yoshi's Woolly World.
Which, oh, that's right. Nice. You were talking about that.
My wife
adores that game.
Yeah, my sister and my brother-in-law were kind enough to get that for me for my birthday. And so we played it
Did you get the Yarn Yoshi Amiibo?
They got us all three
of
Yarn Yoshi Amiibos.
Shit. Yeah.
So I have pink, blue, and green.
Ah, we just got the green one.
Yeah, they're pretty legit.
Nice.
I love, like, so I'm a huge fan of, like, older platformer games where you have to collect everything. And I was a huge fan of Yoshi's Island for Nintendo 64. Or not Yoshi's Island, Yoshi's Story. I was a huge fan of that. That was a game that I had and played all the time.
SNES. That was one of my favorite games.
That was also good. Yeah. I never had a SNES. But
what the fuck?
We've talked about this, Patrick.
Have we? I feel like I would have remembered.
You were pretty drunk that first time you were on the podcast. Christ.
This happens every time. You break the tequila bottle every time.
And then I end up with stab wounds.
I got to start saying.
That's why we had to wait so long to podcast.
Next time, I have to heal. Tattoo it on me. So
Danny didn't have a SNES.
Yeah.
Right. All that. Danny didn't have a SNES.
I went. I went NES to all the Game Boy type stuff to Nintendo 64.
Weird. I didn't have a NES.
You skipped
the 16-bit era.
We skipped the SNES in my household.
And the Genesis?
My cousin had a Genesis, but so in my house we didn't have... Yeah, we didn't have 16-bit.
So the 16-bit era...
Didn't happen in the Gwynn household.
Wow.
Fuck and shit.
Yep.
Together at last.
Yep. We went 8 to 64. We just square rooted right up there. Or squared, not square rooted. That's going backwards.
It's fine.
Look, math is hard.
We went back to Pong.
Anyway, so that all being said, I've been playing a little bit of Yoshi's Woolly World. It's very fun. Yeah. I like the collecting of all the little pieces within each level.
The artwork is phenomenal.
It's great. It's very fun. It's cutesy. And like it feels like Yoshi's Story.
Did you play, because you're a big Kirby fan, did you play Kirby and the Rainbow Curse?
I did, and I liked that one quite a bit too.
Okay, yeah. I was like, I felt like it was similar vein, like artistically, obviously different art forms, but it was like where they were like, let's do claymation for this one. Let's do everything with fabric.
There was actually another Kirby game called Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Yeah, that was on Wii.
Yeah.
Where they that was the progenitor of the fabric animation. Right?
Yeah, the animation style is very similar. That was a good series of words that you just strung together there.
So
I like that.
You're so well spoken. The progenitor of
Hooniper.
It's one time I had seen a possum that had ate another possum.
That's how I speak on this podcast.
It was a super possum.
Anyway, so I've been playing a little bit of the Woolly World. Possum, yeah, just skipping right over that. Before my kid came into the picture, I had a chance to, and actually since I was on the podcast last, I played a fair amount of Tom Clancy's The Division.
Ooh.
Which was excellent. I really like the game. It's probably a little repetitive for some folks, but I like it a lot. It was very fun. I also was going back and trying to finish some games that I had like left by the wayside, including the I finally beat Majora's Mask on my 3DS.
Hey!
I beat it while we were in the hospital waiting for like labor to
happen.
This
is staying forever.
We were just kind of sitting around watching TV. And I was like, just break out the Game Boy while we're just sitting here twiddling our thumbs. Nothing's happening. So I beat that, finally. Made a little more progress on Wind Waker on the Wii U. And then played Tom Clancy. Then the kid
How do you
up.
Like The Division?
I enjoyed it. I haven't played it in a while now, but at the time I was playing with one of my other coworkers, Nico. He got it. We had fun just kind of running around, blasting shit together.
On a scale of 0 to Tom Clancy, how Tom Clancy is it?
It's...
I don't like Tom Clancy.
It's probably...
I don't like me no Tom Clancy.
It didn't feel much like a Rainbow Six game. Like those have always felt like very, very challenging. This has a little bit of that. So I would maybe give it like... I would, well, as far as like you have to be like tactically sound and like you get ambushed and the game just rubber bands on you really hard sometimes.
Okay.
That's been my experience with Rainbow Six games. This one, it
played
feels...
a lot of Ghost in my PC gaming era when I did that a lot. I played a lot of Ghost Recon.
Okay.
I actually really liked that.
This one feels more like a Grand Theft Auto. Mm. Or if you ever played the Mercenaries game on the original Xbox.
Yeah. I've heard it described as Destiny, but Tom Clancy'd and with a good story.
I think that that's a fair statement. The story is interesting, actually. Yeah.
Or at
like,
least it debuted with a good story. Where it's
yeah, like the premise is very interesting. And then you kind of, they have this really interesting like holographic interface where you learn about events that happened. Because there's supposed to be like cameras everywhere in the city.
Yeah.
And so as an agent, you get access to the camera, and it's like this holographic snapshot. So you get this orange, like, wireframe version of all the people involved in this scene, and then you can go and interact with them, and you get, like, an audio clip of what's happening in that scene. It's a pretty interesting way of storytelling. Anyway, that all being said, that was a fun game. But nowadays, it's just Yoshi's Woolly World is what I've been working through.
Yeah.
So
my wife was like on that game for a while, like just
it's a fun
marathoning
game.
Through it.
I've also been getting the itch to go back and play Ogre Battle 64 and Final Fantasy Tactics once again.
Yeah,
those are the games that I just can't lay off. I play them over and over again.
I had a lead on a really cheap Ogre Battle 64 cart the other day, and I actually got a follow up on it. So it was like, yeah, maybe I should just up and fucking buy it. It
you
was like way cheaper than
you
it
should get
been.
It. It's great. And
oh,
it's
I love that game. Yeah, I love the Ogre Battle.
It's on the Wii Virtual Console.
Yeah.
So you can get it there if you want.
Wii it's Virtual actually... Console, not Wii U, right? So you have to go into Wii mode.
Correct.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine with that.
Anyway. Hi. Ian.
Oh, hello.
Have you done a thing with the bling?
I'm with you guys. I haven't been playing with the bling. Thing with the bling. I haven't been playing as much, but I feel like my playtime's been quality. I have a lot of long-term running games, like Metal Gear Solid 5, Xenoblade Chronicles X. I have not... been picking up with for old school stuff. I haven't been picking up with Xenogears because I'm at a point where it's like, this next part's gonna take Patrick. You'll get this because it's a JRPG thing. It's like, well, this next part I can tell is going to take me hours, and so I don't want to sit down and play it until I have hours to do so.
Right?
Because it's like I have half an hour at a time, like half an hour something has to be done, then I might have another half an hour. It's like, no, I need to sit down and do this. So that's kind of taken a back shelf. But I did pick up the I just fired it up for a second. I picked up the new Ratchet & Clank for PS4, because it's a classic platformer series. And I was very excited about this when it came out. I wasn't like an avid or rabid fan of it when it first came out of the series, but I just enjoyed it. This game is just gorgeous, and the controls are on point. The platform, like just everything is on point with this. The reviews coming out for it have just been like the amazing category. Like if the scale of 10, it's like this is a 9. Like you, like it's rare to give a 10. Like this is a 9, a 9.5. Like way the hell up there. And it's cheap too. It's like $40, brand new. Like this game just dropped, and they kept it at like a lower price point, so it's accessible. They're doing their movie.
Mm-hmm.
This game looks better than the footage from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is like if Pixar made a playable game,
yeah,
graphics wise, this is what it would be. So. Mm. That's been really, really sweet. Just played it for a few minutes and I'm like, oh my God, this is going to suck me in. So that's been the extent of it, but I will say hands down, you got a PS4, go buy yourself. It's $40. It's how often do you get to pay that for a new game? That's not like a handheld game.
Right.
Go do it. Just go buy it. Go pick it up. It's totally worth it. It's going to be worth every minute of your time, and everybody reviewing it loved it. I've read a few articles where it's like, this should be a lesson in game design, like just so well done. So kudos for that one. But as far as like super extensive, like that's really the newest thing I've been playing. The rest of it's like, sometimes I feel weird. Like I've been playing Metal Gear Solid 5 and Xenoblade Chronicles X, but as soon as I mention either one of those, everybody's been playing. I'm like, yep, still working on that. Still getting through that story. It's their long ass games or open world. So
that's the truth.
They take in a while, but so the Clancy game has also been intriguing me. As much as I was like, I played a lot of those before. Now I'm kind of...
You're talking about The Division?
Yeah, The Division.
I'm happy to let you borrow mine and see if you like it.
I'm going to do that.
You got that game on disc?
Yes.
DOS.
Oh, my.
Disk operating
system. We've had discussions about this on the podcast previously, the physical media versus digital media.
Yeah.
I'm stuck in the, like, I just like to have the disk.
Yeah.
Like, something in me just likes, I like to have the shelf with my game cartridges.
I am not a collector in the traditional, where it's like a collector I feel is like somebody who's going for a completeness of something.
Right.
The way I collect consists of, like, I would like to have this game in its original form and play it in its original form. And that's it. And I just want to keep it. That's the extent of my collections. Like, I want to have that physical so I can sit and play it in its original form.
One of the ways that I think about my games when I like to put them on the shelf is like if you were to go into somebody's house and look at their books and
yep.
like if
oh,
you,
yeah.
you oh you've read this book like it'd be the same
Me
thing
too.
Like oh I love this game
oh you play Witcher 3 I love Witcher 3
exactly
yeah.
okay, exactly like yeah. I you know
I swung by Streetlight Records, which is a local mm-hmm. place here in the Bay Area the other day because they sell used games. Like not just like modern generation, like they have PS4 and Xbox One. I went in because I heard like used games have good prices, but they go back to older shit. So I went in, they had a bunch of PS2 and like even PS1. Like, and I came out with like even like the stuff that's normally really expensive, their prices are really good. I came out with still sealed Disgaea.
Oh, wow,
PS2.
That's
$10.
Fuck yeah.
Okami for Wii, still sealed.
Nice.
I played Okami HD. I never played the original for Wii, and I heard like that was kind of like a really good handle of the motion controls.
Yeah.
So I was like, I gotta add this to my playlist. $5, still sealed. What the fuck else did I get? I got something else. I don't know.
All right.
I picked up Star Ocean Till the End of Time for PS2.
Because okay.
the new Star Ocean is coming out, and I've been wanting to replay.
And there's nothing that says play this 200-hour game like playing this other 200-hour
game. Play this other 200-hour game that you don't already have time for. But that was $10 as well. So I was like, no, fucking A. So, but yeah, it was just nice. So it's like, because I have DS, I have Disgaea on my, I got bought from PlayStation Store. Probably the same price, but at the same time I was like, well, now I actually have a PS2 copy sealed. I don't care that it's sealed, like I don't give a shit, I'm gonna open it and probably play the disc anyways, but it was just the fact that it was like, man, I have the physical copy in addition to my digital one in case the PlayStation Network ever shit the bed and they fall apart no longer. Well, like I have several working PS2s at this point, so it's like, I'm fired up in one of them. But I definitely get that. I like that shelf of here are my games. Here's what I've read, or here's what I like to read. My bookshelf exists the exact same way. It's like, here's a bunch of books that I've read, or a bunch of books that I've even bought and I'm working through reading. But it's like, you can kind of tell, gauge a person's interest by that fashion. So that's what we're drinking. That's what we're playing. Let's do some drunk talk!
Drunk talk!
I'm
consistent.
I think I was like, it sounded like putting quarters into an arcade machine or something. Yeah, like Cruising USA.
17 more to go.
Yeah.
It's like if there was like a Duke Nukem arcade machine, that's what it would sound like when you put in quarters.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
6 quarters? Jesus! Fuck this game.
Fuck yeah. What was it on The Simpsons? Milhouse wanted to play Waterworld, the arcade game, and it cost 40 quarters. And he finally hits start, and he walks like 2 steps, and he goes, game over, please deposit 40 quarters. Oh, man!
Waterworld. Delightful.
I never actually saw that movie. I think I just avoided
Don't
it.
Don't waste your fucking time.
I just avoided it from principle.
Okay, here's the story. The one guy, he has gills. Surprise, spoiler alert, later in the movie find out. He has gills, he can survive in the water.
Okay.
And he has a plant, and he's trying to find land. And then they find land.
Oh, their goal, so there's no plants? Like that's
There's no land for plants to grow on.
So they're starving.
So they're, yes.
Ah.
It's what about fish and seaweed?
I don't really remember the movie well enough to,
It doesn't sound like it was well thought out.
No. It sounds like it was a terrible idea.
So
it's like Mad Max on the water. So a mysterious stranger wanders around.
Yeah.
He has like some knowledge or whatever, and then some band of bad guys who have vehicles who are gas.
He knows the Pythagorean theorem. It's just the one thing that he knows.
That's all he knows.
I know of Pythagoras.
That's the first step to rebuilding civilization.
I have some knowledge. I didn't say it was useful, but I have it.
Yeah, so if you just translate from Mad Max, where all the assholes ride around in trucks and buggies and shit, these guys ride around on jet skis and boats.
Okay.
It's a bunch of nonsense.
And it's been, and much to your point, like, they're starving, but it's they haven't figured out to check out seaweed and long enough for a human to mutate gills.
Just this one guy.
It starts with one. That's
and all
works.
The other people are in, like, this floating ramshackle scrap city that the pirate guys come and, like, shoot up and stuff. And then he's there, and he's all, like, fighting them and stuff. And it's dumb.
So we don't need to see is what you're trying to do.
That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you.
Got it. Thank you for that.
This week on Danny's early 90s movie reviews.
Danny bitches about an older shitty movie.
At the end of the podcast, I'll talk about a sweet kung fu movie, because I've seen quite a few.
We got to bookend it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Start with a shitty, like, late 80s, early 90s movie. Next time I'll talk about Bill and Ted's what's the second one? Not Excellent Adventure.
Bogus Journey.
Where they play Twister and board games with death.
That's right.
Oh yeah, I remember that one.
And then they meet two fat alien guys named Station, and all they can say is Station because they're Pokemon. Mm. Fat Pokemon named Station.
Station. I choose you, Station.
We should have a segment on the show where you save the listeners like 2 hours.
Where I just go, all right.
You save them or you save them 30 hours on some fucking game.
Yeah. Saving your time with Danny Gwynn. Oh my God, that's actually a really good YouTube
segment. Where it's just my terrible summary of something that, like, and it just meanders until I'm talking about nothing having to do with
if we could animate it, that would be even better.
That would be
good. This is too fat. Aliens named Station, and all he says is Station. So it's a Pokemon, and it's just turned into Pikachu.
Yep.
But not like a super fat Pikachu, but not. All right, we need somebody to animate this. Patrick, look at you.
Patrick, get on. Here's a pencil and a legal pen.
You're some sort of art guy, right?
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, that's you.
Yeah, I'm the art guy.
You do have a fantastic Samus shirt on right now.
Yes, though. I do.
That is
don't
an excellent shirt.
Yeah. Unsung heroine of video games.
Yep.
I sing about heroin all the time.
Me too. Heroin. I wish I had some heroin. Some dope.
Black Hole Sun.
Won't you come?
Come.
All right, we had a little warm up.
I think we're feeling pretty loosey goosey here.
Let's just jump right into it. Let's. I don't even know if I want to preface it.
No, just with what
brought up this question in my mind.
All right, look, boys and girls, this is a conversational podcast, and we're here to have a conversation, like we would if we were just sitting around having some beers. There just happened to be some microphones.
A conversation
to capture. The magic.
Yeah, so shut your fucking mouths.
Yeah, shut your fucking dick holes.
Well, we have a conversation.
Shut your dick holsters while we start this conversation, all right?
Oh, Jesus. So, all right, do we need E3 anymore? Do we need the Electronic Entertainment Expo anymore? Period. I don't know. Do we want to leave it at that?
We could just start with that question.
Start with that. A yes or no from everybody. go round robin. I'll start. I'll say
that's it. That's the question.
That's it.
No answers.
Probably not.
No follow-up questions.
We'll never have an answer. Thank you for paying $10.95 for this podcast. Podcaster $10.95.
Wait, people are paying money for this podcast?
Shit.
I mean, no.
Where's my cut of that?
I mean, no. There's no. This is all free. We don't have a huge Patreon.
Oh. All right, then.
How is every podcast doing Patreon? And, like, every podcast that I listen to is like, hey, we have a Patreon, and they've got a ton of supporters. It's like, how guys, who?
Well, do they make money on there, or is it like we have enough to, like, you know?
I mean, pays for some.
We bought like a new hat.
We're all just one. As you can tell from our recording, we're wearing the new hats we purchased.
That's it. That's
new podcast hat.
I mean, it's not our podcast; it's some other podcast.
Yeah.
We had to subscribe to their Patreon to get this hat.
They just all bought Nerdist hats. Oh, God. So, yeah, E3. Do we even need the Electronic Entertainment Expo?
Does
it need to happen? I'm going to say, you know, I feel also flat out no. And we'll discuss it later, which, you know, it might be like, well, if it was this, yes. But it was like, as it exists, the Electronic Entertainment Expo, I don't think we need it anymore. No.
Okay, so your vote is no before we have the conversation.
Yes.
Patrick?
As E3 stands, I say no.
Okay.
I'm going to say that we might... Okay, well, this is going to be a conversation starter. So I'm going to say...
That's okay.
At the moment, no.
That's fine. That's kind of where I was. Yeah. Like, the way I see it looking at E3 right now, I say no. We don't need it.
Yeah. Okay, so... Just to, mostly to be contrary,
okay.
I'm going to say yes.
The advocate,
but
Satan.
I think it needs tweaking or adjusting, or I don't know. I am super enamored at this idea of E3.
Yeah,
like I've always just been like, oh, E3 is so cool. I wish I could
absolutely.
Go.
Yeah, and it's this huge thing.
Like I still want to go, and if we're the deciders of whether it lives or dies, I'm kind of like. Well, maybe I could just go one time before it died.
Oh yeah, of course.
that's kind of where I'm coming from.
No, I can totally understand that.
I love the idea of having all the cool shit in one gigantic place where I can just go and just be, you know, a huge fanboy for a while.
Yeah. I would, and Patrick, I'm thinking you're probably in the same boat. I think I would wholeheartedly agree with that. I think that's. If it were tweaked or if things could be changed, we'll probably get into that
right, but,
in a little bit.
But to be in the direct spirit of the question of, as it exists now, do we need it to continue being that? Probably no.
No.
Can I just ask a quick question?
Yes.
Are we using E3 as the like poster child of like gaming conventions? Or are we speaking specifically about
E3? Specifically about E3.
Okay.
As in, I think like, it's what it was originated to do. What it's doing versus and not gaming conventions period, because I would say absolutely we should have conventions.
So from my perspective, correct me where I'm wrong here, when I think about E3, it is the place where the big game developers go to show off, this is a new shit we're going to be rolling out and here's why you should buy it because
yes.
We think it's cool.
Correct.
Yeah, aren't there a bunch of conferences that are that
now
that are not E3?
There is that now.
Okay, and are we also referring to them?
No, the Electronics Entertainment Expo in Los Angeles, California,
okay.
Specifically.
Is there a reason?
Considered the reigning champion. Like, if you were going to say something or do something, you did it at E3.
Got it.
So maybe kind of yes to your question, but E3 being like the king of these sort of like, hey, buy our shit gaming expos. Maybe most represents what Ian is kind of trying to dig at and say, like, okay. I don't think we need this institution.
This particular, is it just an artifice anymore? Like, the E3, like, because so many things have been birthed out of it that do different things, as we'll probably get into later, like, especially with internet culture, we have direct access. Like, a lot of the companies can just, they can post a YouTube video. They don't need a goddamn press conference. Right. They can just, boom. Or they can submit a press release and everybody can read it online. But so the reason why this came up and obviously like where E3 came from historically, E3 is an industry convention, like a trade show. So trade shows are still a thing that exists. It's actually where companies literally come to show off to other companies. It's exchanging of vendors, like, hey, I'm... It's actually still kind of big in the hardware world. You think like Maker Faire, but that's a little bit more of a person to person. There's even larger like hardware conventions. And kind of speaking from my own personal experience, where it's like, oh, I do, you know, PCB manufacturing, but this guy over here, like here's Broadcom, and they do, you know, Wi-Fi and Bluetooth chips, and everybody kind of like, oh, and here's our new shit. Here's the thing we're showing off, and everybody else there is part of that industry, and they get to kind of meet. You know, contact points and talk with engineers, et cetera, et cetera.
So it's a bunch of these dudes talking shop about their business.
Talking shop making, yeah, and it's a huge gathering,
right?
For that point, it can also be a media event. Like a lot of companies will have keynote addresses. We'll do major press releases. You know, like You know, say Broadcom be like, oh, we're releasing our new blah, blah, blah technology Wi-Fi card or whatever the hell they want to do, or cellular connectivity, and has, you know, better power management or something like that. And so it's, you know, very big for that industry. E3 started that. E3 was actually an offshoot of the Consumer Electronics Show.
Oh, okay.
It was, I mean, previous to E3, which I believe the first one was 1993. Was the first E3, 92, 93.
Soich me.
Previous to that, the gaming industry, like if Atari or Nintendo were going to show something off, or they wanted to have part of it, or their vendors were showing something off, they did it at CES, at the Consumer Electronics Show. And then as gaming grew and became its own sustainable industry, so to speak, where it was not, yeah, you might have tech giants making a game system, but out of that there are also companies, I mean it was Nintendo and Sega, I mean even outside the US, like NEC had a huge port with the TurboGrafx / PC Engine.
Mm-hmm.
But like Nintendo and Sega, like that was their bread and butter, was consoles and games. So there's these massive industries starting to form, and you know, EA even back in the day. And so it behooved enough people to start their own convention, which was the Electronic Entertainment Expo in Los Angeles, and it was part of that. It was a press conference, so journalism, investors could take a look, because this was now something that was a viable company that you might want to invest in. Like, boy, a lot of these youngsters are purchasing the games, so you know they might. You'd have a company that's like, oh, their stock is at $2, but they're announcing and releasing this, and it sells 1 million copies. So you know, it's a good time to figure out investment strategies, and developers could contact and work with other developers and show off their wares and such like that.
So
it was mostly press oriented. Still to this day, to get into E3, they have, like, if you're in the press, you can get approved and you don't pay anything. You go in because you're a member of the industry,
mm-hmm.
or if you're a developer or an engineer or something like that, you work for a valid company in it, you can apply for an E3 ticket and go, or even just say like, oh, I am a vendor, I'm gonna have a booth, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
You can go as an individual, but it costs a shit ton of money. I don't want to say it's like $1,500, $2,000 for a ticket, because it is still an industry show. Because
they're paying for all those other assholes free tickets.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, as a vendor too, you pay. Like if you were gonna show up and you're gonna have a booth, you pay for space, and you know, I'm sure there's better spots than others. But,
right. Maybe more square footage to
exactly,
show off your shit.
Yeah, you're paying for additional space. So that was its origin point, was an industry show. And a journalistic – it was kind of one of the first journalistic show-offs for everything in the industry. New hardware, new games being revealed. I still think of, like, as a kid seeing pictures in, like, GamePro and Nintendo Power of, like, the Ocarina of Time – tech demo, where it was like the
dear
polygonal
sweet
oh
Jesus
God. Like, just, and I mean now looking back, they're like pictures that are maybe an inch and a half by an inch and a half tall, like shitty tiny little color photos,
mm-hmm.
of like this polygonal Link that didn't even look like the Link that we got in Ocarina of Time, fighting like a metal copy of himself, because they were also showing off the Nintendo 64, Ultra 64, like Metal Mario.
They just,
like,
yeah,
they could do all the rendering
Metal Mario
and stuff.
Texture for,
yeah, it's like I remember that, like from E3 or Square showing off early Final Fantasy VII picks, like getting the magazines and reading that, because the magazines were there. They were seeing like who was introducing what. This is their big time to announce things and to still. For companies to make communication with each other. You've seen quite a few times, like a developer could make a relationship or build a relationship with a publisher. At that point, the developer could be showing off what they have, and also like you make a contact with somebody in development. It was an industry show.
Mm-hmm.
And it eventually turned into almost like a festival of, this is where everything is announced and here's the Mecca. It was like almost like a religious journey. Everybody goes to Mecca. Everybody goes to Jerusalem. Everybody goes to E3.
Right.
Like, that's their thing.
This, if you're a gamer, come and pray at the temple
consumerism. Yeah, pray at the temple of Mario.
E3.
Yeah.
The big three, we call them. All right, so you got Christianity, you got Islam, and you got gaming nerds.
Gaming nerds. Buddhism might be in.
It's in there somewhere, maybe.
It's in with gaming nerds.
Yeah, yeah. There.
Do we need Buddhism?
Do we even need
Buddhism? So we come to our topic, do we need Buddhism in its current form? We say no. I dare those Buddhists to come fight us because they won't.
They're not going to do it, except the militant ones. Can't figure them out.
That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't. But they exist, and I can figure them out. It's like militant Buddhists. Like, that's not a... It's like jumbo shrimp. It's an oxymoron.
What if I call them jumbo prawns?
That's fine.
All right.
That's totally fine. This is completely different. You, in fact, should call them jumbo prawns, even if they're tiny, even if they're wee. Wee little prawns. They're jumbo in their hearts.
All right. I have nowhere to go with this joke.
I don't either.
All right.
So,
that
was the origin of the Electronic Entertainment Expo.
And thus was the history of E3.
Tune in next time. Wait, we're not done. No. but now we're up to today. Where we have E3. We still have CES in some ways. We have PAX. We have...
PAX is all over the place.
Yeah, we have Tokyo Game Show. We have, obviously, Tokyo
Games. What's the big European one?
Gamescom. That's in Germany.
Yep.
In addition to a myriad of multiple smaller shows in which larger developers still show up to, or some of them host their own. What is it? PlayStation Experience, was that it? Is that the Sony's been doing the past couple of years? They had one in Vegas. They did it in San Francisco. There's GDC, Game Developers Convention.
Yeah,
I've heard of that. I mean, that's been going on for a while,
right?
But that still like came after E3.
Is Tokyo Game Show still a thing?
TGS is still a thing. It used to be, there was Space World before that. I think that became TGS, or it was just kind of superseded by it. I'm not certain. Someone sent us an angry email. Informing us of the history of that one.
You'd be the first.
Yeah. But TGS is certainly, obviously, and that one deals a little bit more with the Japanese companies, like what they've got in the cooker. There's not too many American companies, like, or at least they're not showing off the localizations there of what they plan to do. They might announce, like, oh, and it's coming to North America sort of thing. That's the one where it's like I almost still rely on Video Games Press.
Okay, pause for a second. I just started drinking this Cosmic Ristretto
by
Green Flash. Holy fuck, this is so good.
It's really good.
All right, reminder to Sober Danny, who's listening to this later, go buy Cosmic Ristretto by Green Flash.
And thanks to Ashley on Twitter, at the Beer Wench, who is a Green Flash local rep, who, although she didn't recommend it, still liked the tweet when I was like, we need something else from Green Flash because Danny's a stupid baby and doesn't like IPAs.
Although, as I was talking about before the podcast, and we're definitely not in the beer segment of the podcast at this point, but...
We already were. Or we will be.
We definitely already did that. I mean...
We don't go backwards.
We definitely don't record that part last. Anyway. The IPAs that you guys have been introducing me to on the show have been expanding my beer horizons, where I don't normally drink IPAs. The ones that you guys are picking out seem to be pretty good.
Right. So, I think we also know, like, if it's, like, too super hoppy bitter, then it's like, I doubt he'd like that.
If it's crushingly bitter, or it has that fucking grapefruit nonsense in it, then, you know, I can't go for that.
Yeah. You tend to like the more floral IPAs.
Yeah, well, I'm a delicate little flower. I think that's what
American
can I say?
Hops. Beer snobs out there, American hops tend to be more floral. Correct me on that.
Send us an angry email to ianhasnodick@thebitpub.
You could probably, I think I sent info at the bitpub as the catch-all, so you could do like anything at thebitpub.com and it'll show up one way or the other.
Yeah, pick your most creative Ian-related insult at thebitpub.com.
It's like a 50 dot, word.
What is our dot?
It's .com. Thebitpub.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, yeah.
Okay. E3 is a place for people who are in the industry to talk about how great they are and get a bunch of gaming reporters and gamers with too much money to come and try their shit out for like 10 minutes at a clip.
Yep. You might be waiting for a while.
You wait in line for like 3 hours. You play a game for maybe 10 minutes. And then like someone with a camera shoves it in your face and asks you how great that game was.
Right.
Or maybe you fill out a survey and then you go do it all over again at some other jerk's booth.
They get some sort of customer feedback.
Right.
Yeah. And that's how it was for years.
Yep.
But now even things like Gamescom has public days. I think this it runs a long weekend, and there's like it's media days, and then I think they have a few public days.
Okay.
Where it's supposed to be crazy as hell, but general public can buy regular admission tickets to it. There, I think all the press conferences and stuff are over, but it's like they can come in and whatever demos are there, whatever the hell you want to stand in line for, you can go and do it. You can check it out. So Activision and EA will not be at E3.
Oh. Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah.
We don't want those jerks there anyway. Yeah. They ruin everything they touch.
Some of them, they bought some really good people. I just can't stop giving them my money. No, they bought some really good people. Was it Amy Hennig?
They bought good people. Ian, that's not okay anymore.
No, it's totally fine. The Emancipation Proclamation was like, makes it totally cool.
Oh, because three...
You are free to buy and sell whomever you want.
Where does the three-fifths come in? Do I cut people into... Five pieces, and I get to keep three of them?
No, it's Fifth Third. It's a bank in the Midwest.
Oh.
Literally, it's Fifth Third Bank.
Like Fifth and Third.
Yeah. But it's the Fifth Third Bank. It's like Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Ruth's Chris.
Have you ever heard of this?
Nope.
You never heard of a Ruth's Chris Steakhouse?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about
Educate Ruth's me. Apostrophe S.
Yeah.
Chris.
I don't understand like, why it's named that way.
Like some dude named Chris.
So it's like Steakhouse. A Chris Steakhouse well, that Chris Ruth owns.
It's
Ruth's.
Or this Chris
this
is
Ruth's Chris
Steakhouse.
Yeah.
Like
Ruth's
a dude's name
Chris Steakhouse.
That Ruth okay. makes a mean Chris.
So, like, the dude's name is Chris Steakhouse, which also great porn name. Yeah. And his girlfriend's name is Ruth or something.
She owns it because of the Emancipation Proclamation.
Yeah, she owns 5/3 of Chris Steakhouse. All right, I think we got to the bottom of this. Yeah. Carry on, Ian.
That's my new favorite porn name. That's
Chris Steakhouse.
Who's your favorite porn actor?
Chris Steakhouse. Oh, he's Ruth's, right?
Yeah, that's the one.
Well, what is a Chris? Or maybe it was Christ Steakhouse. And
it's a Christian steakhouse.
A Christ Steakhouse?
We are like, a
Jesus
God-fearing
like,
steakhouse.
Jesus is like in a 1974 El Camino, like outside of a dirty apartment waiting for El Mariachi to show his face so they can bust him for running drugs.
He's like in a leisure suit with like his hair like straightened. He's got aviators
with
on.
His partner Donovan.
Yeah. Donovan.
A Christ Steakout. Ruth's Christ Steakout.
Oh, man.
Next time on Christ Steakout.
I like where this is
I
going.
I help those who help themselves. Ba, 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 ba.
This is a 1970s cop show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You didn't get that?
No, I'm into it.
All right, cool. I think it's Joe. I'd watch it.
I'd watch it.
We were talking about doing E, right? Doing ecstasy.
Yeah, so you just do one tablet at a time.
Oh.
Did you do... How many? Where are they? There's no more left on the table. We should call a doctor.
How big is this room?
It's getting smaller all the time.
Yeah, I'm gonna need. You guys look really soft though. Come here, let me feel you. Let me squeeze you.
Oh.
E3.
I love this
room. So.
Just tell me that I can get out of this room.
I just need you to tell me that I can leave this room. You can leave this room.
Okay. Oh, thank God.
Okay. So, the other reason why I bring up this question is obviously there's a myriad of gaming conventions. I think PAX is probably one of the biggest examples because that's kind of like there's a ton of them, and I just remember the first one when the Penny Arcade guy started it.
Right.
It was like in the Pacific Northwest, and now it's like. They're just a stone's throw away.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to PAX this weekend. It's like, there's a PAX last weekend. Yeah, there's one weekend after this, too. And
just tripping over a PAX every time you turn around.
PAX everywhere the fuck.
I'm down to three PAX a day.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. Hey.
That one took a little while.
Yeah, I was still laughing about everywhere the fuck.
I'm still very proud of that.
Everywhere the fuck. I'm still very proud of that line.
Yeah.
Tits everywhere the fuck. It's like reading a children's story. And there were tits.
It was
everywhere
like,
the fuck.
Like Grandpeppy has gathered all the chillins from the neighborhood around to tell him the story.
He's telling about the good old days.
The good old days. And they all have like their fists under their chins.
Tits
and
everywhere.
Tits as far as the eye could see everywhere the fuck.
Wow.
Woo, Grandpeppy.
What else happened? Shut your mouth and I'll finish the story. Get me a Switch.
Go out and fetch yourself a Switch then.
And beat yourself.
Okay.
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 Go on.
Yeah, there's 3 packs a day. There's packs all over the place. All
right, lung cancer.
And it's very, yeah. You get, everybody
lung
gets
cancer
lung cancer
from playing video games.
Okay. But PAX is very big because it's
you don't like yiffing?
No. Hey, he knows what yiffing is.
I was like, no, I've heard this term, and it seems to be sex related. It seems to be the humping involved.
Yeah, so yeah. It's okay. Dry humping inside
of their
gross.
You said that very knowingly, Patrick.
Why, yes, it is.
Patrick, is there something that I need to know and or beat out of you?
I just have a couple of friends.
Yeah. No, I just have a couple of friends.
They're in my closet, and I put them on my body and zip them up.
These are my friends.
And I tuck my wiener back and dance around a little bit. No
I
big deal.
I just know people, okay?
How do we get them on the show?
And how do I threaten them the entire time?
I thought you were going to say, how do I throw up?
Oh, no. I know how to do that.
I'm very good at that. How do I throw up? Oh, I figured it out.
I need a new microphone.
We're getting low on these. Good thing we buy them at Costco.
All right, look, really, my furry hate is just an ongoing joke on this show. I really don't care. It's just kind of gross.
I'm drinking more of this beer.
Hey, drink more of that beer. I had some. I'll have a little bit more.
All right, I'll save you some. I save you some. I was making a point about PAX. We got into Yiffy.
Whatever. I've decided
to forget. We got into Yiffy. Yeah.
I've decided to forgive all furries.
Yuffin. Yeah.
Very good.
I moved on. Having a child has changed my perspective in life.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I mean, we haven't mentioned it this yet, but like, as of last podcast,
or maybe we've already mentioned it.
Maybe we did. I don't know.
To be determined.
Only
really.
Time, space, time will tell.
Yeah.
In the multiverse. but yeah, as the last time we recorded with you,
it was
Sabrina
like 3 months ago.
Were sleeping through the night. You had no progeny, no one to carry on your legacy, and now you have a bouncing baby boy who also. Barfs and shits and keeps you awake at night. But
probably
he is the apple of your eye.
Probably because I'm bouncing him so frequently.
You should stop that.
I should stop dribbling him like a basketball, I think.
But he's
doesn't,
probably, yeah.
Doesn't go for very well.
The apple of your eye, molding him in your own graven image. This is
And other... other...
other...
The cliche things.
How's that lack of sleep going?
Look, it's great, Ian, all right?
But we're glad you made it, though.
Yeah,
job.
Me too.
Thanks, Sabrina.
Congratulations on babies. A baby.
Yeah, just one.
Just
what's
about
it?
Babies.
It's Miles' middle name. Miles Warren. I remember he had like really cool first name.
It's a strong, very Miles white Warren. Name.
That's like, but I mean, honestly, it was like Chief Justice Miles Warren Gwynn.
Yeah, or Head Astronaut Miles Warren Gwynn.
Head pornographer, Miles Warren.
I'll take that too. All right. As long as he's in charge of whatever he's doing.
If he's in charge of the porn, that's good.
Yeah, look, he's calling the shots, okay?
The cum shots.
He's telling Chris Steakhouse what to do.
His best friend.
Chris Steakhouse.
His best friend and VP of the company. Ruth's.
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Ruth's Porn House.
Yes.
This is good.
That's my son.
By the way, shout out to my friend Bill George, because all these Ruth's Chris jokes are for you. I'll explain later, but he'll get it.
Hi, Bill.
Bill also goes to PAX a lot. So,
Bill
Paxton goes to PAX a lot.
Yep.
I'm friends with Bill Paxton.
Wait, really?
Nope.
Okay.
All right.
That's a lie.
That's a bold-faced lie. Next question.
The big thing about that, what PAX brought onto the scene, and granted there are a lot of other conventions, but this one kind of PAX gripped the I guess you could say gripped the shaft. PAX gripped the shaft of gaming culture, and stroked with all its might. But everybody could go. You didn't have to be part of the industry. It was like, hey, industry, come and show off. To all of your fans and all of your gamers, and maybe make some announcements or maybe have interviews and panels and a literal Comic Con for gaming where anybody who's anybody could go to it. And all of a sudden the playing field changes a little bit. So it whittles away at E3.
Right.
But then to top it off, what really got me thinking about this question was Activision and EA announced that they are not going to have booths at E3 this year, which we've seen similar stuff like this in the past. Like Nintendo itself doesn't really do a big keynote.
Well, right, they would have, but like, they've started their Nintendo Direct stuff throughout the year now.
Right, so throughout the year, and they would have a special digital event, or right. like this year because they announced they had their recent NX announcements
and Pokemon,
and Pokemon. but this year, it's all going to be Zelda. It's all going to be Zelda Wii U / Zelda NX this year. They're going to have like a Treehouse Live, so a slight variation in the past. But for like, I think really their last big. Really big announcement was when they announced Twilight Princess, and they actually had Miyamoto on stage with like sword and shield announcing Twilight Princess. This was like GameCube into Wii era, and that was or at least I mean there might have been a few others after that, but that's the one that sticks out in my head. Is like that was the last great Nintendo
stage announcement,
stage live presentation. And don't get me wrong, the past few years, like I know they've people have been kind of ups and downs with it, but the digital events, the first year they had like Robot Chicken do it, and the next year they had the Muppets do it, and I fucking loved it. I ate it up. I was like, this is exactly what I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
But that was another big step back from another major company. Patrick, you look like you were going to say something.
Well, I was just going to say, like, on the subject of like, you know, whether this is necessary or not, that those sound like pretty cool ways to drum up publicity, and I don't know if you can make a YouTube video and just be like, and we stuck some Robot Chicken in this YouTube video just for kicks. I mean, I guess you could. You totally could.
Yeah.
Robot Chicken is a video in and of itself.
Right. Well, and that's they did, and it worked to a degree, but they still had their treehouse thing where they still had a booth and they still had a presence.
Right.
And now this is another big thing. Like you have EA and Activision Blizzard or Blizzard Activision, whatever the company is at this point. So two super massive organizations whom their bread and butter is video games, who are saying we're not going to have a booth at what was once, or some, you know, we might even say still is the largest industry convention on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so with all of this direct communication, Nintendo Direct, I subscribe to Nintendo and Sony and Xbox on YouTube. And every day my subscriptions have blah, 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 playable trailer, so-and-so, you know, interview with this guy and this guy, a big announcement, you know. So there might be like a traditional press release, like a traditional journalistic release ahead of time. Then maybe a day later, here's some videos on it, or even later that day, here's some videos on it. But there's so much of this direct marketing to me and announcements directed to me, and then special events at all these other conventions or Sony hosting their own sort of thing.
So do you think, though, what about the guys that are not the big names? Like, you're not the super heavy hitters.
Yeah, by the way, that's just two major names. That's not everybody.
Right, exactly. So. And, like, maybe the ones that, you know, everybody doesn't know, maybe those guys are getting a little more. Yeah. Ubisoft, still, I mean, a lot of people know them, but I wouldn't say that they're as much of like a household name as Nintendo or Sony or even Blizzard.
Yeah. People like, would know their games maybe more than they know their. It's like, oh, Assassin's Creed. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that it, something like E3 is still useful to the non-big name people, because I think the big name folks, they're still going to draw a lot of attention on all of their various platforms that they you know, spew information out to. So if they want to just go to communicating their shit online only through YouTube or through whatever, like if they their own website, they're still going to be successful in getting the word out.
Yeah.
Because if nothing else, they're going to put something on their website where it's like Sony announces new game. Then some jerk's going to go to Reddit and be like, hey, Sony's talking about this new game or, you know, whatever. And then it's going to be up on Facebook and it's just going to like spill out into all the other like various media locations.
There's no time to press anymore.
Right.
It's nearly immediate. I listen to a lot of IGN's podcasts.
Right.
I really like a lot of the personalities, a lot of journalists on there. Specifically, I've heard Brian Altano. I was one of their features editors and does a lot of their videos and stuff. Talks about it at E3. It's like, or you mentioned that they have their war room where it's like everybody's got their assignments. And it's like E3 is almost more like a marathon for them because it's run here, talk to this, like schedule an interview with this person and talk to them about this and then run back and like what's getting, you know, write an article real quick. What's getting written? What's getting published? What are they tweeting on the way to this? And it's so instantaneous
right.
that the you know, from yesteryear. And I'm not looking back with a sense. I mean, there's a nostalgia to it, but I'm not looking at a sense of like, oh, it was way better back then. But it was like we didn't. You had to wait for things to be physically printed,
right,
in order to see it. Or they might have like, or if you were late watching, 90s, they might have had websites that had.
Right. Well, hell, I can remember as early or as close as when I was in college watching, you know, G4 on TV to watch their like round the clock coverage of E3.
Yeah.
And
when TV was relevant.
Yeah, when TV was relevant, and they would like, there's so much content that they would just around the clock display interviews and demos and all the shit.
Yeah.
And it would literally, you know, to my wife's chagrin, would just be on the TV all the time. Like,
and you didn't sleep.
When I was home, it was on the TV.
You didn't blink for 3 days.
No. Just like spritzing water on my eyeballs.
So I feel like that's a thing though, where you like, there's like a week where your life is E3, right? But, where like on YouTube or whatever, like, you know, there's a new video in my subscription or something, and I don't like, I'll miss it. Or like, there's games get announced all the time under the radar or just on YouTube, and they slip through the cracks. I don't hear about them, and they're fucking great, and I don't hear about, I know nothing about them until somebody tells me about them. Whereas so could it be lost in a giant dump of game announcements at E3?
Right.
But for me, I kind of like the fact that I just have to like pay close attention to this for a week, and I'll know everything that's going to happen over the next year in the gaming context.
Right. But I think probably most people would not feel that way these days. Mm-hmm. I think most people want to be able to consume in little bite-sized chunks. And they want to go, okay, I want to just cherry pick what I want. I'll just watch all the trailers, and then I'll just yell loudest about this trailer that I think no one else is paying attention to.
What's relevant to me?
Everyone pay attention to this trailer. I think it's the best. And then that's how they're going to get
attention. If you follow me on Twitter, it's like whatever RPG, JRPG that's out. And I'm like, oh my God, I might get this. And I'm just like retweeting shit.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, probably 1,000 people block me at that point, and I don't blame them. I don't blame him at all.
I mean, I wish more people would.
I know you blocked me.
Definitely. I tried to block you more than once, but...
I'm cock-blocked. Constantly.
Well, yeah.
By you. I just...
Always.
Yeah.
Whoop, I just run through the room and say, Ian has herpes wherever I go.
Was that awkward doctor's appointment that one time?
Just poke my head in the room.
Ian has herpes.
Oh, we're going to need to take a look at that.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering what that was, the doctor. Can I have a different doctor? Oh, I'm not a doctor.
I just wandered in off the street.
Not again.
Every time.
Every time. So it does sound like it's what E3 wants, the main purpose it once served as far as broadcasting the information is maybe not necessarily no longer relevant, but not as relevant as it once was.
Right.
Or at least major portions of it aren't as relevant because the marketing can be direct. The social component of these is taken care of by things like PAX or PlayStation Experience. Mm-hmm. It almost seems like more the industry end of it is handled. Like if you're a software engineer, you're probably going to be at GDC.
Right.
Probably going to be a game developers conference. Or any of the other major developer, Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference, you know, which is, they're both in the same city, you know, they're up here in the Bay Area. That's a huge draw, you know, and a lot of announcements are made at those in big keynote speeches, but it's also like a lot of workshops and like very industry specific stuff. So it almost kind of makes me wonder, like, should E3 just be done away with, or like Danny, you hinted at before, should it just be tweaked a little bit? And if so, how would we tweak it? What should it become?
Yeah, as we talk about it more, I'm not sure how much tweaking could be done to kind of make it as relevant as it once was.
Yeah.
And because so many people are already getting their marketing direct. You know, everyone wants instant gratification. They would rather see something on Twitter by the publisher or by a studio that says, you know, new title coming out this date, link to an announcement trailer or something like that. I feel like these days that's going to hit more people more rapidly And I think people like to even see things like during the development process. We haven't talked about this game for a while, but Yooka-Laylee, which I'm still real excited about.
Yep.
Same here. They for a while after they got their Kickstarter funded, were putting out videos online of like their development process and here's the music.
I still get all their email updates every time they post that and Shenmue 3.
Exactly.
You know, like all that shit.
Exactly. So.
Kickstarter gives me a direct relation to that because I'm effectively an investor.
Exactly. In not only do you know when the game's coming out, but or have an idea when the game's coming out, but you also are there every step of the way. You're kind of seeing the decisions that are getting made along the way. So I don't know. I think in certain cases, people would prefer that sort of like, hey, let's have you take a sneak peek behind the curtain kind of an approach. As opposed to
the crowdsourcing, crowdfunding thing is very in vogue right now.
Right.
For many good reasons. I mean, that could be a podcast on its own, but
sure.
I think it comes in minuses.
I think that the notion of, okay, wait a whole year and then we're going to just give you this little glimpse of stuff and then that's all you're going to get until shit launches.
Yeah.
I think that maybe is not nearly as popular as it once was. Like that concept of consuming your stuff in these limited chunks.
Well, and I think it might be because like it's that medium has gone away. It's like the harkening back to your previous comment, the time to press. Time to press is immediate.
Right.
Time to press is you can snap a picture with your phone and then press a button and it's published in greater circulation than a magazine ever could have been.
Right. I mean, do you guys have any thoughts on if you were going to try to salvage E3 in some fashion, like restructure it somehow? Any ideas?
Nope. I was going to say, I think, like, I mean, this is not the answer to that question, but I feel like there's a potential for it to become more relevant in the near future because there's so much going on in the hardware
right kind of
realm right now.
We're about to be seeing a new cycle start.
Yeah, we have this VR thing. It could be the next big thing, or might not be, or it could just be a middle of the road thing, or who knows what.
Yeah. And perhaps with like companies like Apple, you know, showing that, you know, you can be profitable with hardware upgrades on a regular basis. Yeah. That maybe, you know, you might need professionals at your thing to experience these new hardware developments and then write about them because you can't always be passing the hardware out to the gamers.
Case in point, Sony has their PlayStation Experience, and this last year they did a specific specialized PlayStation VR debut, which had a full body experience suit.
Oh, wow.
And people, did you guys ever play the game Rez on Dreamcast?
No,
it was remade for Xbox 360, one of those. But it was originally Dreamcast game, like super, like very kind of wireframe graphics, but like everything was music.
Everybody loved that.
That game was it's super emotive. Like you play this game, and it's all feel. It's like, good God, this is feel. And then they had a full body, like they had their VR headset and a full body suit, and everybody playing. They're like, yeah, it was kind of goofy because there's vibrators everywhere, so there's all these jokes.
I read an article about somebody repurposed their controller for the original Rez into a vibrator, so their girlfriend could participate while they played. Pretty
but
ingenious.
But there's all these jokes around
Smat.
It. But they kind of followed it with like, you know, it's like, yeah, but the experience of Rez Infinite on PlayStation 4 with VR in this entire experience, you know, the specialized, it's for this event, like all of a sudden VR became more viable to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it became like, oh, this is, you know, everybody still has their own opinions on it. I've got my own. I'm imagining.
I'm sure we'll talk about it at some point.
But, you know, some people were like, wow, this is a really unique way. This is a really unique way and pretty, you know, enveloping way to experience this. That was huge for them. That was a big hardware noise because everybody was doing VR and there was PlayStation VR and there was a lot of press reviews and who like they press liked it best because of this reason. They didn't like it for this reason. Now all of a sudden it's like, here's people trying it.
Right.
Here's Sony showing off the hardware.
Here's like a real person trying this out, not one of our guys who's extremely familiar with it.
You got to get in the suit. You got to experience it. So the hardware thing might be might be big. All right,
I think that's a valid point, but do you all, I mean, wouldn't it also be potentially useful to just have that go back to like the CES as a venue and have like industry technology types.
Yeah, would it make more sense just to fold back into CES? So another thing I was thinking was
maybe, or
a thought that I had in my head was like, this is like, especially when the big players would announce things. A lot of these are publicly traded companies,
mm-hmm.
And one of the things I was thinking was this might be also very revelatory for their stockholders, like, oh, to announce things here. But at the same time, like, we learned Nintendo's going to release the NX next year. Zelda Wii U will be at E3 and will be on Wii U and NX through the investor conference call that they had at the end of the fiscal year. So it was like, well, maybe not E3 for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, maybe E3, I mean, if it's E3's goal to stay alive, maybe they could be more considerate of the financial schedules of all of the developers.
Yeah. I think if anything, it would be to be tweaked. It might have to be something like, here's the big players, here's the AAAs, here's them doing their major reveals.
Right.
Like their first time reveals of new things. Or it's like they might Nintendo didn't show any pictures of the NX or Zelda Wii U at the investor conference call. But everybody got the news announcements like, oh, March 2017 is when NX is launching.
Right.
But I mean, and they're not going to be talking, quote unquote, not going to be talking about NX at E3, but E3 could still be that. Okay. We told our investors like, yeah, we're gonna be talking a lot about this at E3. Boom. Here it is. Here's the excitement you've been waiting for.
Right.
And then it's piecemeal throughout the year. The E3 could still, I think if it's tweaked, it could still be that huge press conference thing. The biggest of the big guys doing their huge press conference thing. The initial reveal of stuff. Not the minor updates. You can handle that in your own personal conventions and your YouTube channels. But here is the big, big stuff to announce.
Right.
The game changers.
So maybe want to say closing thoughts on this subject. Unless you have other points that you want to touch on.
No, I think we covered. I guess my main questions were like, do we need it? What would make it more effective? What makes it seem unnecessary?
Sure. So for my closing thought, I think that what I would really like to see out of E3 is more coverage on not the big guys. Like, I think it would be a good venue for people who maybe have an upcoming game that's anticipated by industry insiders. This would be a great place for those to get showcased, get a lot of exposure. And you know,
are you thinking indies specifically, or
not
or just...
necessarily? Like, I'm not really thinking about anyone in particular. Hmm. I'm just saying I think it would be a good place. Like these. Okay, so the whole show is attended by these industry insiders, these reporters who spend all their friggin' time thinking about video games. They know how all the studios are interacting. They know who all the publishers are interacting. I feel like they are in the best position to kind of help these maybe less pop or less well-known studios kind of gain a foothold or gain more exposure in such a way that might be, you know, helpful or useful to the average gamer to get exposed to new things.
Yeah.
I'm also inclined to trust their commentary on this subject more. I mean, it's their job.
Right, exactly.
If you go on YouTube now, people are like, I'm trying to find out about No Man's Sky on YouTube, and these people are like, maybe this is what's going to happen. Maybe it'll be like this. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
I don't want to hear your
YouTube
fucking wish list.
I
want to
hear
bullshit.
It from fucking Sean Murray's mouth how the game's going to work.
YouTube is filled with like 500 million publishers of just you know, it could be a room of three assholes recording their opinion on something.
Yeah, just sitting in a garage.
A bunch of dicks.
Drinking beers.
Yeah. So
and bitching about video games.
I was listening to a podcast today, one that I really like. It's about Dreamcast, called the Dreamcast Junkyard. And they were talking about like YouTube channels. And it was just like, there's never like a there's very few channels that'll do the concise retrospective look at something or just a good look at an old game. Like, hey, here's this game, work their way through it. There's a lot of, everybody just plays the nostalgia card of like, hey, remember this? It's like, hey, remember Ninja Turtles? Remember Samurai Pizza Cats? And that's it. That's the extent of it.
That's just it. It's just them talking about
good
remember
feelings.
This cool thing.
Like, comment, subscribe. You know, and like that's the extent of what they get from it. So
fucking
very much
ridiculous.
To that point. And podcasters are the worst.
Yeah, fuck those guys. All right, what do you jerks think about E3 in general? Closing thoughts.
I don't want it to go away. I really don't, because it still has that mystique. In not a joking fashion, it has that religious draw. Like, if you are somehow, if you pray at the temple of Nintendo, Sony, or Microsoft Xbox, or had even in the past at Sega or anything like this, this was your pilgrimage, like, mm-hmm. to see what was happening at E3. All the holiest of the holy events happened at E3. So there's still that gauge in my mind of it. So it's like, I don't want it to go away. But at the same time, should it either go away or be reformed into something more effective? Yeah. Yeah, I think it really should. I don't think as it stands and what it does now, I don't think we need it. It either needs to change or it's like, you know what? We could be done with it.
Yeah.
Patrick. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm pretty much on the same page, except for the hardware argument, which is really all that I have, is that it may become, by no merit of its own, really more relevant in the next few years, but not if they go away first.
Yeah,
right.
And they'll be replaced by something else,
or fold back into CES or something.
Yeah, so
like that.
It could be useful for like these new consoles coming out, but then after that. Then we're back to the same old
song.
Yeah,
you're on a multi-year cycle at that point, and can you sustain a convention?
Can you sustain on like a 5+ year churn of just looking at games, which is what they've done so far?
Right. I guess that's kind of my point. I'm not an expert on the subject, but I foresee less than like many years between console updates and changes.
Yeah, like, they're probably gonna go the way like the cell phone or the
maybe
the,
that's kind of what I'm thinking. Yeah. But on the other hand, like, I don't know if they're the kind of things that require someone to show up and experience the product, or it's gonna be like a PlayStation 4.5 as is being rumored, or you know, like, do you really need somebody there to?
Yeah, can this does it can make is a convention necessary for this, or an independent convention necessary for this, or can it be done elsewhere? Danny, what do you think?
Kudos.
Well, I mean, I think I spouted my nonsense already, but
spouted a lot of things.
I've done a lot of cleaning everywhere.
Nonsense everywhere.
Man, look at all
over the floor.
Nonsense. Yeah, I think E3 could die, and we wouldn't miss it that much at this point. Honestly, like, I think that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah.
If it went away, and the game developers and studios were forced to like adopt a more direct form of marketing and announcements. One, I don't think it's that hard for them to do. And two, I think many of them are already kind of doing it. So I think the majority of gamers who kind of live on their computers and their cell phones getting these sorts of updates would be just fine. Yeah. They wouldn't really have much of a gap in their ability to go seek out this information.
Yeah. So it sounds like we're all kind of a consensus, but also with the consensus of conventions are still a good, if not necessary, thing.
Right.
Like, that social aspect of this, that kind of pack mentality to be around something when it's announced or displayed or experienced, is a very important social aspect of gaming. As much as, like, all of us like to, like, all of us here have had the experience, like, we play games together, and sometimes we just play by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And having that back and forth of like, I can sit and read something on my own, on my phone, my computer, but then I have something to take part of a community is equally important.
Everyone needs a podcast.
Everybody. Yeah.
Everybody should just podcast. God,
we should start it. We've just been sitting around drinking beer. We should just record this.
Guys, wouldn't it be great if we just put a microphone in between us while we were talking about games and dicks? That's pretty.
And dicks.
We could call it games and dicks.
Games.
D-I-O-C-K-S.
Dicks.
Yep. All right, I like it. One thing that Patrick said previously, I think, is a good idea here, or at least is relevant here, that kind of having that constant
relevant.
I heard it.
Like a relevant
elephant.
Yep.
Relevant.
Sorry.
My V came out very F-like there. Having that sort of like concentrated dose of game announcements happen, and then having the even more concentrated dose of like the people covering what's being announced at E3 is a really good way for someone who maybe can't pay close attention to what's being announced or what's happening at E3 to get like a solid chunk of like, okay, here's a bite-sized chunk that tells you all the things coming out. So from that perspective, maybe a nice, but you could get that just from an industry reporter gathering shit up on an article on IGN or something.
Right. But somebody would have to do that. Somebody would have to, like, it would have to be part of that reporter or journalist's goal to, like, gather all of that information. Yeah. Hey, in the past 6 months at
IGN
all these conventions.
An article where that where they make their tiny E3.
Here's everything that was announced at E3. You can go through it.
Here's everything that's announced this year.
This year,
Because they're consolidating it, right?
Right. So yeah, it does serve that nice consolidation factor. So it's like I do really think it can survive and or even thrive with some tweaking.
Yeah.
But as it stands right now, it's kind of I mean, hell, like you said at the beginning though, given the opportunity, I would go.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Fuck yeah.
Absolutely, I would go. If not just for the convention, but just to like hang out in the bars with all the people from gaming journalism in the industry and drink with them afterwards, that'd just be a great time.
Hell yeah.
But there's that social aspect of it again.
Maybe they should Coachella it. Like, just drop the price of tickets and let everybody come. That's like the opposite of Coachella.
Wait, Coachella's really expensive. Like,
just let everybody come that's not a journalist.
But they just, everybody's on E or Molly.
E3.
That sounds like
E3. Molly 3.
You ever done E? Bruh. E3, bruh.
We do a times 3.
That sounds like PAX. Like the let everybody show up and talk about games.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But nobody there showers.
Well, I mean, it's a gaming convention. Ugh. I mean, Patrick hasn't showered since.
Impress.
True. Remember California Extreme when we went last year?
Oh yeah,
great convention. Gonna be there again this year. But
when is that again?
July 12th or 14th.
Yeah, we should go.
Yeah, because that was awesome.
That was fun.
But there's a please for the love of God, people, shower.
If you're going to play
shower deodorant,
if you're going to play Dance Dance Revolution all day, for the love of God, please have put on fucking deodorant.
And I know there's some of you there that have been helping move those heavy ass pinball machines and arcade cabs. That's awesome. But you're probably staying at that hotel. That hotel room has a shower.
Yeah, look, go upstairs real quick. Take a shower, change your shirt, put on some deodorant.
Christ.
And then go into public.
Yeah. Then
please don't force the rest of us to smell you by walking within 10 feet of you.
We want to hang out. We want to play games with you, but I really don't want to taste you as I breathe.
I mean, not without having licked you.
Right. Right. Like
if I'm licking you,
like a toad,
solid chance that I want to taste you in some fashion.
Yeah.
I don't want to taste you
below
through
the equator.
Sure. I mean,
yeah. Or above, you know, whatever you do.
Or both. First one, then the other.
Me and
I say.
Please. Me and please.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I think that's going to do it for us here. You can.
We solved it all. We figured out E3.
That's it. So we've solved E3. Done. I say take it out back, put one in the back of its head, and call it a day.
You are welcome, whatever convention company handles E3.
Yeah. Save yourself some time and effort and go have a fucking beer. Yeah. Don't bother with E3. We don't need it.
Go have yourself a Green Flash cosmetic Ristretto.
Oh, fuck yeah. Have some of that.
Yeah.
That's Daniel's first saved you 1 week. Just get rid of E3 altogether.
That's my first Danny's time saving tips.
Don't go. Just kill it.
Don't go. Be done. And that's been Danny's time saving tips.
This is supposed to be about movies.
No! 'Hear more of our obnoxious ramblings, you can find me on Twitter at Strongest Kung Fu. And for this episode's Kung Fu movie recommendation, I recently had a kid, so I spend a whole bunch of time watching Netflix and therefore bad kung fu movies.
Don't sleep.
Yeah, there's not much sleep happening. I watched several, so I'm going to pick just a couple very quickly. If you've never seen any of the Ip Man movies, Ip Man is the guy who was Bruce Lee's teacher. So there's a couple of movies on Netflix about his life. I had previously watched the very first, so just Ip Man.
Yeah.
Very good movie.
I remember, I think I saw that, the preview for that.
Right.
So, okay, cool.
And so that one's great. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. But recently I just watched Ip Man 2. Very good. It's pretty much the same movie. I mean, it's a martial arts movie.
Yeah.
The guy gets disrespected. He regains his honor by fighting using his better kung fu style. Or it's not kung fu. He actually fights using a Wing Chun is his
Everybody Wing Chun.
Everybody Wing Chun tonight. And he beats the shit out of this overly obnoxious British guy who they refer to as the foreign devil pretty much the entire movie, but in Chinese.
Nice.
Like you do.
Very polite.
I also, not necessarily a kung fu movie, but a martial arts movie. Okay. They had a Netflix.
I'll allow it.
They had a Netflix second part of the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon movies that went direct to Netflix. I can't remember what the subtitle is. That was pretty good. And then one that I think that nobody should watch. This is a Danny saving you time, telling you not to go watch this.
Come up with a quick way to say
yeah,
that.
we gotta come up with a Danny's time saver name for Danny's time saving recommendations. Do not go watch Five Elements Ninjas. I may have talked about this last time I was on the show, but it's fucking terrible. Don't go watch it.
What about Three Ninjas? If I got rid of Five Elements and I made certain that there was three ninjas.
And they were basically the Hansen brothers in, like,
but
kimonos.
They play the Game Gear.
Oh. Well, then,
which
sure.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, if you want a trip back into the 90s and also a bunch of, like, you know, tweens who are, like, blonde...
Go on.
White kids.
podcast just got weird.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Anyway, don't go watch Three Ninjas. That shit's dumb.
You should watch Surf Ninjas instead.
I don't know.
What about Butthole Surfers?
Yeah, that's good. I don't mind the sun sometimes.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so all that being said, if you want more martial arts movies recommendations and general bullshit, you can find me at Strongest Kung Fu on Twitter. Ian, where can people find you?
You can find me at The Space Ian. There's very little. Well, I mean, I talk about space on occasion because space is cool, and I mean that's what happens. But it is nowhere near as thematic and as informative as Strongest Kung Fu's knowledge of kung fu and martial arts movies. If anything, I'll be retweeting Neil deGrasse Tyson and Bill Nye,
fair enough,
which will be happening here. But you can find me at The Space Ian on the Twitter.
All right, we'd like to thank Patrick for joining us once again.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Our three-peat returning guest.
Yeah.
We can't get rid of him. He keeps turning up like a bad Patrick.
That's like a bad patch of Patrick. I thought you were going to go the STD route.
Right? Yeah, oh, I'm sure,
like,
that's what you're
Yeah, but it was just like a bad Patrick. Like, I mean, there's those good Patricks who just show up once and that's it.
And that's it.
Here I am once. Thank you very much.
This one is not an antibiotic sort of a situation.
No, not at all. Yeah, this
you got
is
this
one
forever.
Yeah.
It's more of a virus.
Forever kind.
You don't get rid of it.
This one lives in the base of your spine.
This is in your genetic code. Like LSD, it lives in your spine.
So if you have a desire to tell Patrick something about something on the show, or you just want to bitch at us in general.
Or tell him off.
Give him what fur. you can tweet the entire show at the BitPub on Twitter. You can also reach out to us via email at through podcast at thebitpub.com.
Yeah.
You can also find us at thebitpub.com. We don't really have anything on there, but we will soon.
There's links to, it says podcast, Twitter, and YouTube. If you click YouTube, it goes to a blank page because we still haven't done shit for that. Oh. But, I mean, yeah. But there's links to everything. If you just remember thebitpub.com,
yeah,
you'll be able to find it.
If you remember that, We'll eventually have some interesting content on there.
Somewhere.
For you to enjoy. Yeah. Right now, it's just the podcast for you to, you know, be ambivalent about. But anyway...
listen to while you're showering,
mowing the lawn,
performing surgery.
So, do you remember the last time I was on the podcast? We made a joke about like this is the best podcast to listen to while you're mowing the lawn.
Yeah, two-star podcast. This is a good podcast.
So
two
this, stars. This
three stars.
So my friend Ronnie, who got this excellent Sheboygan fighting raccoon home invaders.
Yeah, I tweeted this. That's right. You did.
My friend Ronnie, she bought me this mug for my birthday, which is an in-joke from an earlier podcast episode. Her first exposure to the show was listening to us while she was mowing the lawn. So, anyway, it all just kind of comes back around. So, anyway, you've joined us here on the BitPub. We appreciate it. We have been... No, no. This has been... Yeah. And we are a bit drunk.
Cheers, everybody.
Bye. Bye.
Yeah. Well, you can cut it down. Just make sure you use the cut.
Just go, hey,
hey.
Do hey, and then can we go back and hear what that sounds like?
Hey.
Do
it again.
You gotta do it three times.
Yes.
The question has to be asked. Oh fuck, is that what this?
Are they just gonna do this over and over?
Yes.